This morning we're going to turn to the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2 is only two chapters. It's just a wonderful little book. And when I read this some days ago, I made a little note and I said I hadn't intended it for a message or anything. I put, "Fear not, little flock, we are as this house, once great, which in the end shall be greater than ever, though now it is not." And as I've said many times, the problem with most that at least profess to be in the Lord is they just don't know what time it is. You know, we've spoken on this many, many times. There's a time to rejoice, and there's a time to love, and time to hate, and a time for, you know. So in Haggai, if you've got a good Bible, it'd be page 1117. 11:17 in chapter 2, we're going to read the first three verses. How do you see it now? How do you see it now? He said, "In the seventh month, in the 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" And that thing, it really struck me. And of all things, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and he brings Brother Roy back into my path. And Brother Roy was there in some days that most of you weren't. You were still very young. And there's no doubt that those before us here at this hour saw a much greater moving of the Spirit of God. I mean, I read, we of course read it in the New Testament, we read it in the Old Testament, but even in the books that we've read, the great revivals and such, and you read these things and you go, wow, that church did that, and that church did that, and that church did that. The revival meetings that in our day that we attended, and the manifestations of the Spirit, you know. We had men like Calvin and Luther and Owen, Philpott, Bunyan, Edwards, Wesley, Whitfield, Spurgeon, Pink, Tozier, and even St. John, Roloff, Oliver B. Green, and on and on and on. And I think about those men, and I think about what those men said, and I think about the way people would listen to the radio, and that people would, I've preached many times that, in my day, the drunk on the bar stool had more morals than most of the folks in church today. They weren't living it, but they knew right from wrong. They knew it. And in comparison to all those things, just like here in Haggai, the landscape has become barren, become sere. I believe from personal experience that the movement of the Spirit really started waning 2,000 years ago, after the birth of Christ. Now you think about that. And most especially in the year 2000. In the year 2000. Because Christ was, I should say the ultimate, but I could say the penultimate, because he's coming back. But something happened. For 2,000 years, we did have a moving of the Spirit. I think it was like the Euphrates, the mighty, it was slowly drying up, and the Mississippi is slowly, but it was flowing. But some things happened in the year 2000. I remember everybody, what was the thing, brother? They were afraid when, I don't know if you remember this, most of you were young, that when 2000 became 2000, all the clocks were going to quit and all the computers were going to quit, and because they didn't, it had something to do with the zeros in computer technology. And in my experience, especially after 2008, you know the biggest change since then? Anyone? It's pretty easy. It's pretty much right before us. About 100 years ago, you know, you might say, rough, and these are rough, radio came. And it changed the landscape. It changed the way people, we had this instant communication, and we could hear voices over this radio. And then, of course, came TV, and oh, man, how the, I remember Brother Roloff and others railing on TV. Man, this is a devil incarnate television. Well, now we all have a television in our pocket. You know? Oh, how the preachers, they railed on it. But they hadn't seen anything yet. I got my first internet, you might say, computer with internet in 1999, and everything changed. 2000 brought the rise of where Jeff used to work, Google. The internet's actually, they say, been around since 62, and that's another message, because in 62, 63, things happened. But when it really flourished, came to fruition as we really know it. In 2001 came the first mobile phone or cellular phone with internet. Now I have the internet everywhere. I'm speaking, I'm preaching on it. And now I can preach to Jeff in California on this little piece of plastic right here. A little piece of 2 by 4 inches or something. But I ask, are we more spiritual? And that's what Haggai said. How is this? How is this? Is God magnified anymore? I mean, we have this method. We could preach the gospel. I could, if I had the phone number, I could call a man in China, in Russia, in England, in Australia, I could call him. I could even, what they call FaceTime, he could look at me and I could look at him. So you think, like the radio preachers and the TV, oh, we can reach and we can reach and we can reach and we can reach. So for 100 years, we've been reaching. Are we more spiritual? And Haggai said, and this struck me, how do you see it now? Brother Roy, he can remember those meetings, and I can remember, Melissa and I can remember those meetings in that tabernacle. They brought in special wood. They go up to Arkansas and they bring in the special wood and they build this tabernacle down there in, on 6 Mile Road in Mission, Texas. Man, the singing was glorious. Brother David's playing the piano. We go to Brother Roloff's, the People's Baptist Church, and they had one of the best piano players I've ever heard. Played like Brother David, and he'd up and down the keys, and the singing was so glorious. But I ask, how do you see it now? Jeremiah, he wept, you remember, over Jerusalem. You see, he'd seen her glory. He'd seen her before. I've been in some great meetings. I mean, some great meetings. Come home, couldn't sleep. Just a glorious thing. And I look at what was once Brother James's, you might say, congregation. We were just talking about where all these brethren are today. This great congregation, this tight-knit body. How do you see it now? The Roloff homes in Corpus, I cut my preaching teeth there so many years ago. How do you see it now? I ran into Brother Roy and Brother David Thursday, and we were talking about how they knew some of the brethren I knew here, and how we used to pray. We'd go over to this brother's house, and we'd get we wouldn't be on our knees, we'd be on our face, and we'd be praying to God. God, would you be with us? And we'd go out amongst the people. And we'd go preach on the very streets of Beeville, Texas. How do you see it now? I remember it's been many years ago now. I'm going to say 16, maybe years ago, 15, 16 years ago, the girl and Mo and I went to a revival. I was telling a fellow yesterday, I played golf with a couple guys from Odom, Texas. And I was telling him, man, I went to a revival meeting in Odom, Texas, and we didn't get home till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And the girl's parents, where have you been? What have you been doing? We've been in church. They didn't believe us. It was glorious. Fellowship, praising God. I ask, how do you see it now? I ran into a preacher last week. He pastors the first church here. The first church, the big church. And I was telling him about how we had sung a hymn in church a couple weeks ago, and it was an old hymn, and I'd asked if anyone, that nobody had heard the old hymn. You see, we don't preach the old hymns, and we don't sing the old hymns. I was singing some this morning, and how it was sad to me that the younger folks, they haven't heard these hymns before. And he said, you know, I like it when they take the old hymns and they mix them with the new songs. Man, I thought immediately of the mingled wine and the fruits of mingled wine. Bible versions or perversions. Oh, the people will be able to understand it so much better. We'll put it into a plain English. We'll put it into this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this. Well, how do you see it now? Over 100 years of these Bible versions, over 100 Bible versions. How do you see it now? Is your doctor, your health care so much better? Excuse me. Are the schools so much better? Education? How about the government? The children? How about your business? How do you see it now? I mean, we saw it before. I can't tell you, every week I have lunch with a bunch of men that are in my generation. And without exception, we talk about being raised up. And Brother Roy, remember, you could leave your doors open at night, unlocked, and your windows open. And the women and children could walk the streets day or night. How do you see it now? The churches, they used to be filled on Sunday morning. You couldn't buy or sell on Sunday. The blue laws. How do you see it now? Even Katie's, the little church Melissa and I attended. I was licensed to preach there. She was baptized there. And the song leader, Brother Marvin Maples, he led the singing. And he prayed over the hymns all week, over the hymns that he was going to sing for the Lord's Day. Prayed all week for the Lord's will. Not just open the book, turn to page 42. Just the song service. How do you see it now? Aren't we so much more spiritual from the greater understanding all these things have brought? How sad. I'm asking this morning, at this hour, how do you see it now? Religion. Ah, yes, religion. So a man sent me an article this week at these Bible colleges. They've changed the word theology. They no longer teach theology. they teach religion. I had another man text me this week and contact me, and he said, and he questioned my religion because he didn't want me imposing my religion on him. And he seemed afraid. I said, how can you be afraid of what you don't believe exists? How do you see it now? And so they've changed the word religion to theology. Do you know what the difference is? Do you know the difference? I'm not talking about true religion. The difference is that religion, listen, religion is a man. It's a man-centered thing. That's what religion is. It's man. Oh, I believe this, and I believe this, and I believe this. But you know what theology is? Theology. It's God. It's a study of nothing but God. That's all. Everybody has a religion, even if it's atheism, they claim. You see? But only the redeemed, only the blood washed have God. The difference between religion and God. How do you see it now? Today it's I think and I think. I told you the two most dangerous words in the English language. I think. You better duck. I think. I think. And then you get a little more. A fellow told me the other day, he said, you better look out when a woman says, this is what I believe. I believe, I believe, I believe. And yet, as barren in the spirit of God as you can get, dry as toast. If you turn to the book of Jude, the last book before the book of Revelation. In the book of Jude, verse 12 and verse 13, the Bible comes alive in my eyes. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's what I see now. I take great offense when they speak of my religion. Because I'm not religious. I've never been good at being religious. Catholics are religious. Muslims are religious, Episcopalians, whatever. Pick the denomination. They're religious, you see. This is the religious. Didn't he say he'd have ministers of righteousness? Angels of light, ministers of righteousness? Over in Corinthians? And he does. They're religious. Time would fail me to cover all the atrocities that have befallen us today. And you say, oh, preacher, you're being so negative. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, he said, except there come a falling away first. That's Bible. It's what God said. Except there come a falling away. Now those of us that have been over here, and now we're over here, we see that. He said, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Look around at you preach truth today and look around and see how many. But, he says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse than they have. Deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy. I'm asking you today, how do you see it now? Could you imagine? I can't fathom if Brother James or Brother Roloff or your grandfather, my grandfather, were to come through the door and we pulled up on the computer screen just the headline on Fox News. Just the headline. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Sodomites, queers, effeminate, murderers, child molesters. And that in kindergarten and elementary school. 6-year-old shoots a teacher in Virginia. 6-year and intended to do it. It wasn't an accident. Tried to kill her. I'm asking, how do you see it now? To which I could say, well, Lord, have mercy. And thankfully, He will. Because 2,000 years ago, He did. Is it any wonder that we say, Lord, come quickly? You see, our mercy was Calvary. Jesus told them in Matthew, He said, woe to them. And we're entering these days. Woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Today. I always speak of today. How do you see it now? How do you see it now? If you go back to our text, Haggai finishes out his thoughts. We read the first three verses, and if you read the remaining six verses to his thought here, it'll bring not only a charge for you and I, but it'll bring hope. He said in verse 4, yet now, he said, it is not in your eyes in comparison, it is nothing. Yet now, be strong. O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And look, and work. You don't work, you don't eat. And work. I saw a man begging this week. He looked far more able than I am. And work. For I'm with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I'll fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. It's coming. It's coming. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. So don't despair. Saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Like a calm after a storm. Remember, our side wins. Yeah, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and yes, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. But our instruction to such is take on the whole armor of God. And the Lord said, He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. Are you comfortless? That's not the... Are you comfortless? He's left those of us that have been born again, the Comforter, the blessed Holy Ghost of God, the third of the Trinity. The gold and the silver is His. But now hear me. You got to die to get that latter house. Watched a program the other evening about, it was all about the fear of dying and facing death. They were academians and they were very, very intelligent, but not spiritual at all. or spiritual in the wrong way. And then we'll have right once again, the Bible says, Revelation 22, to the tree of life. How do I see it now? The Bible said, but he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, for which he was stoned. And I believe this day we've become full circle. Is it not such today? I've had men want to kill me for the gospel that I preached. I ask, how do you see it now? Oh, preacher, you're so negative. No, I'm positive. This is exactly how it shall be. I say, how do you see it now? You can look at America, not once what it once was. Texas, your own family. But perhaps, listen, perhaps we're looking at the wrong thing, because our eyes are to be on God. And you get converted. You get born again in the Spirit of God. You get saved. And you can answer as Stephen that day. Even as Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's how I see it.